Book 20, Chapter 5, Concerning Thutis and the Sons of Judas the Galilean, as also what calamity fell upon the Jews on the day of the Passover. Now it came to pass, while Phaedus was procurator of Judea, that a certain magician, whose name was Thutis, persuaded a great part of the people to take their effects with them and follow him to the river Jordan, for he told them he was a prophet, and that he would, by his own command, divide the river and afford them an easy passage over it. And many were deluded by his words. However, Phaedus did not permit them to make any advantage of his wild attempt, but sent a troop of horsemen out against them, who, falling upon them unexpectedly, slew many of them, and took many of them alive. They also took Thutis alive, and cut off his head, and carried it to Jerusalem. This was what befell the Jews at the time of Cuspius Phaedus's government. Then came Tiberius Alexander as successor to Phaedus. He was the son of Alexander the Alabarch of Alexandria, which Alexander was a principal person among all his contemporaries, both for his family and wealth. He was also more eminent for his piety than this his son Alexander, for he did not continue in the religion of his country. Under these procurators that great famine happened in Judea, in which Queen Helena bought corn in Egypt at a great expense, and distributed it to those that were in want, as I have related already. And besides this, the sons of Judas of Galilee were now slain, I mean of that Judas who caused the people to revolt when Cyrenius came to take an account of the estates of the Jews, as we have showed in a foregoing book. The names of those sons were James and Simon, whom Alexander commanded to be crucified. And now Herod, king of Chalcis, removed Joseph, the son of Camidus, from the high priesthood, and made Ananias, the son of Nebadu, his successor. And now it was that Cumanus came as successor to Tiberius Alexander, as also that Herod, brother of Agrippa the great king, departed this life in the 8th year of the reign of Claudius Caesar. He left behind him 3 sons, Aristobulus, whom he had by his first wife, with Bernicianus and Hyrcanus, both of whom he had by Bernice, his brother's daughter. But Claudius Caesar bestowed his dominions on Agrippa Junior. Now, while the Jewish affairs were under the administration of Curianus, there happened a great tumult in the city of Jerusalem, and many of the Jews perished therein. But I shall first explain the occasion whence it was derived. When that feast, which is called the Passover, was at hand, at which time our custom is to use unleavened bread, and a great multitude was gathered together from all parts to that feast, Cumanus was afraid lest some attempt of innovation should then be made by them. So he ordered that 1 regiment of the army should take their arms and stand in the temple cloisters to repress any attempts of innovation, if perchance any such should begin. And this was no more than what the former procurators of Judea did at such festivals. But on the 4th day of the feast, a certain soldier let down his breeches and exposed his privy members to the multitude, which put those that saw him into a furious rage, and made them cry out that this impious action was not done to reproach them, but God himself. Nay, some of them reproached Cumanus, and pretended that the soldier was set on by him, which, when Cumanus heard, he was also himself not a little provoked at such reproaches laid upon him. Yet did he exhort them to leave off such seditious attempts, and not to raise a tumult at the festival. But when he could not induce them to be quiet, for they still went on in their reproaches to him, he gave order that the whole army should take their entire armor and come to Antonia, which was a fortress, as we have said already, which overlooked the temple. And when the multitude saw the soldiers there, they were affrighted at them, and ran away hastily. But as the passages out were but narrow, and as they thought their enemies followed them, they were crowded together in their flight, and a great number were pressed to death in those narrow passages. Nor indeed was the number fewer than 20,000 that perished in this tumult. So, instead of a festival, they had at last a mournful day of it, and they all of them forgot their prayers and sacrifices, and betook themselves to lamentation and weeping. So great an affliction did the impudent obsceneness of a single soldier bring upon them. Now, before this, their first mourning was over, another mischief befell them also. For some of those that raised the foregoing tumults, when they were traveling along the public road, about 100 furlongs from the city, robbed Stephanus, a servant of Caesar, as he was journeying, and plundered him of all that he had with him, which things, when Curianus heard of, he sent soldiers immediately, and ordered them to plunder the neighboring villages, and to bring the most eminent persons among them in bonds to him. Now, as this devastation was making, one of the soldiers seized the laws of Moses that lay in one of those villages, and brought them out before the eyes of all present, and tore them to pieces. And this was done with reproachful language and much scurrility, which things, when the Jews heard of, they ran together, and that in great numbers, and came down to Caesarea, where Cumanus then was, and besought him that he would avenge, not themselves, but God himself, whose laws had been affronted, for that they could not bear to live any longer, if the laws of their forefathers must be affronted after this manner. Accordingly, Cumanus, out of fear lest the multitude should go into a sedition, and by the advice of his friends also, took care that the soldier who had offered the affront to the laws should be beheaded, and thereby put a stop to the sedition, which was ready to be kindled a second time.